While it is common for Sabbath keepers to greatly focus on the day itself, there is no particular mandatory day of worship to be found in the New Testament, the shadows of the Old Testament having now been replaced by the glorious reality of the Son of God. One man considers one day more sacred than another, another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Romans chapter 14, verse 5. Paul makes this comment in the context of his comparison of weak versus strong believers, allowing the weak to retain their immature peculiarities, like day observance, and counseling the strong not to use their spiritual maturity to dishearten or to cause controversies with the weak. To apply this today, we should not give a believer a hard time for considering worship on Saturday the norm, nor for the same regarding Sunday, even though we realize from Scripture that Jesus Christ is our Lord and worthy of our worship and intimate walk of fellowship every day. However, we should also not allow the incorrect views of the immature to change our way of thinking or the approach we have adopted in good conscience and out of love for the truth. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. As those blessed to know the actual Savior, our dear Lord Jesus, we have the opportunity and the responsibility of entering into His rest at all times. Anything that detracts from that closeness to Him, as in honoring any form of a specific day of worship, must necessarily do, is not something we should personally wish to embrace. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, at all times, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. The whole idea of the 7-day week is biblical and not secular. The idea of a 7-day week does not occur in antiquity outside of Jewish influence, and then through the influence of Christianity. The Romans and Greeks had market days which broke up months into various divisions, but they varied in their length, and were not nearly as regular or significant as our Judeo-Christian week. These also differed greatly from town to town and from place to place. The first reference to the 7-day week is, of course, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, where God refurbishes the earth in 7 days and rests on the seventh day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing, so on the seventh day He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. In these verses, the word rested is from the Hebrew root, Shabbath, the same root from which the name Sabbath is taken, while the word seven in both Hebrew and the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, the Septuagint, is also the basis for the word for week, literally meaning the seven things. This is a rather long way of saying that Sabbath means rest day, and is derived from and patterned after the seventh day of rest in the reconstruction of the earth in Genesis 1 and 2. So the Sabbath is the same as the seventh day, and we find that throughout the Bible. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any, that is the manna. Exodus chapter 16, verse 26. The question of how that relates to us today after the coming of the Messiah, and after Jesus has removed the shadows of the law through His victory on the cross and His resurrection, ascension and session, is another matter, however. The fourth commandment is the only one of the 10 which is not repeated in the New Testament, and we know that Jesus frequently healed on the Sabbath. The reason for the change is that now we are to walk with Him at all times. Under the power of the Spirit, Christians are to practice a moment-by-moment rest in the peace of Jesus Christ, not limiting ourselves to 1 day a week. Our rest is a spiritual rest and transcends the previous physical rest, whose purpose was for spiritual refreshment. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 through 11. Even a cursory reading of this passage shows that Paul is not talking about one day a week, but a moment-by-moment Sabbath rest, which is fundamentally different from the one-day-a-week Sabbath of the law. As to days of worship, nothing in the New Testament specifies when or how often believers are to come together. Traditionally, the Lord's Day, that is Sunday, the day of his resurrection, has been the day when most Christian groups have met, but there are many groups which meet more days a week than this. It is not the day which is important, since the Bible doesn't address the question, as is true of many other issues of polity, over which people often get quite exercised. But what is important is what happens when Christians do meet. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. As these verses make clear when carefully considered, the purpose for meeting is spurring one another on, to do what Christ would have us to do, and encouraging one another, both of which can only be legitimately done through the truth of God's Word. Teaching and learning the Word is therefore the reason for formal Christian association, and a group which does this consistently would certainly profit from meeting as often as possible. But for groups which are all about music, and announcements and funny stories and illustrations, and pablum which has nothing to do with the doctrines of Scripture, it doesn't matter whether they meet on Saturday or Sunday, or even if they meet at all.